This is the Financial Coconut Podcast, Singapore's first personal finance podcast network. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut. Every Wednesday, you'll be chilling with me and my guests, who are some of the quirkiest, geekiest people we can find on the internet, about how they do money and life. Sit back, relax. We are a few days away from the weekend. Welcome to Chills with TFC.
What is your side hustle? What do you do? And like, all that.
Oh, okay. So, I used to...
Wow.
Yeah, must have a bigger reaction. Like,
try again.
Wow. I'm still trying to...
process it.
Yeah.
Like, you can see the information still stuck.
It's like being rough in real time.
Welcome to Chills with TFC, where we sit down with the geekiest, quirkiest individuals to learn about how they do money and life. I am your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut, and today we have a whole crew in the studio, some of the most interesting people I know around Singapore. They all have very intense corporate jobs, right? But at the same time, they have what we call blow your mind type of side hustle. Let's see, we have a ballet dancer, come studio owner, a top tier DJ, and a channeler. Yes, channeler. You know, like spirit realm, right? So I got all of them into the studio because I want to understand, how is it like to hustle a very serious corporate career, at the same time do things that people will call your real calling, right? So how to do it, balance both of it, and the secrets to making it work on both ends. So welcome back, this is Chills with TFC.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So welcome back to Chills with TFC. I'm your host, Reggie, aka your chief financial coconut. And today I'm joined with the crew, right? You may know some of them, you may not know some of them, but they all here for a particular reason, right? Because they all have like very serious corporate job and like slightly weird side hustles that people don't know of, you know, or maybe some people know, right? Like your side hustles and all that. So that's why today we're here to talk about whether your side hustles actually help you with your career or like kind of affects or impedes your growth. Right, so yeah, anybody wants to start introducing yourself? Okay, we must play a game first. Right? Mm-hmm. Play a game. We can take it two ways. Either you introduce your side hustle and the other guys will guess your corporate or your corporate job, or you can introduce your corporate job and let the other people guess your side hustle. I let you free choice, okay? You can decide which position you want to take.
I'll introduce my corporate job. Mm. So I'm in IT, so I'm a B2B marketeer.
So Teresa is a B2B marketer in IT. Okay, then you?
So my corporate job is actually, I'm actually running a company right now.
I don't think you need to say that.
I'm running a personal finance platform. Right?
He runs Seedly, lah, okay? Like, if you don't know Seedly, then I don't know why you're here, right? I mean, we are a personal finance channel, so everybody should know Seedly, and that's Mings. And
yeah, so I run a fund. Yeah, that's my, corporate job, so to speak.
What's so interesting about your fund? You can name drop one. I'll let you promote.
Okay. Well, I'm with Southsouth Asset Management. So I run a global currency fund. So it's essentially a hedge fund, long short. We do technical. Sorry, getting a bit technical here. What's so special about it is we are probably the only one in Singapore doing this type of strategy. Mm. That's regulated. Yeah.
Interesting. No, when I saw him with the blazer, I was asking him what I do for
Living. Guy's too serious. He came in with a blazer. Yeah, I was like, Ralph, can you stop doing this? Right. Every time you come in on set, there's a blazer. You can unfold your shirt. More relaxed, more chill. Can?
This is the chill mode.
Oh, this is a chill mode. Oh my goodness. Okay. So now that we have established the corporate basics, right? Each of you can choose, I guess, what is your side hustle and all that.
It's very broad. You have to give us a hint.
Yeah, okay, maybe Ming's one is the easiest, right? You cannot guess. He already knows, right? Okay. Because... everyone in the space will probably already know your side hustle.
Are you sure?
You have too many feature article already.
Correct, but I have too little followers on Instagram. I don't think
that you must give me a reason to follow your Instagram, right?
You can see my side hustle.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe Teresa, you can try.
Guessing
side hustle. No, you give some like.
Yeah, give me some.
Maybe we state the industry or.
Yeah, tell me the industry.
So I'm a music lover.
Music lover.
Okay,
yeah,
okay, yeah. Man. Quite broad, quite broad. I give you, I give you. Yes,
so
yes.
In the music industry?
Sort of.
You're a performer?
Yeah, close. Yeah, yeah.
Music. Must be an instrument.
We have an instrument.
Wait,
we
you call tools. That instrument?
It's more like a tool, right?
Yeah, it's a tool.
Yeah, it's a tool.
Oh, you need a microphone. Maybe you're a singer.
Singer.
Later we review.
Okay, anyway, I'm going as like as far out as I can.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. I think you try. Good. That's a good basis. Okay, yeah. Ralph, maybe you guess Teresa's side hustle.
Are we going to start with a hint?
Yeah, yeah. What's a hint?
Yes. Okay, a hint. Wellness.
Wellness is a bit broad. Think further. I mean, it's wellness, yes.
It's
the outskirts of wellness. Can you agree?
I agree, it's the outskirts of wellness. Yes.
Therapy.
Yes, it's therapy.
Therapy is like pao ka liao these days, you know? There are all sorts of therapy. Try harder.
Hypnotherapy.
Well, nice. You're definitely guessing 50% of what I do there.
Yes, it's in a ballpark. Wait, yeah. What made you guess hypnotherapy?
I have no clue, I just... Yeah.
Okay. We stop it there. Later, everybody reviews their side hustle. Okay, yeah. So Minx, maybe you can guess Ralph's side hustle.
Any hint?
Yeah, say.
Arts.
This one even more broad, right?
Arts.
Yeah, music, wellness, art. Yeah, art.
Any more hint from it?
More physical.
Mm.
Guess. Physical art form.
What do you usually wear for your side?
That's a great question. But you say then kena already.
No, because in terms of the side hustle, I might be wearing like that too.
Is that your costume?
Oh, wow, very close.
Okay, I'm going to go a bit extreme here. You are pole dancer.
Mm. Very close. Okay, how we start with you? What is your side hustle? What do you do? And like, all that.
Okay. So I used to dance ballet for a couple of decades. And so I run a ballet school and also a dancewear fashion label.
Wow.
Yeah, must have a bigger reaction. Like, try again.
Wow. I'm still trying to...
Virtual processes.
Yeah.
You can see the information still stuck. Exactly, Ralph in Neil Tats. Right?
It is. No, there's a Straits Times feature, right? Recently.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah, later we can talk about it. Okay, yes, come, Teresa.
Yep, so I'm a spiritual healer.
Mm.
Yeah. So when I say the hypnotherapy is actually correct, because I do sometimes deploy the hypnotherapy skills to take people to the outer states.
Outer states. Wow. Namaste. Okay, great. Later we can talk about it. Minx.
Okay, I'm a DJ at a club.
Definitely very far like from your very straight-laced
this one is
right
a
now.
Fake one. This one fake one. Like the... It's a fake persona. It's for work only.
Yeah.
Were you a Zookout?
I wasn't, but 3 years ago, I was doing a festival called Legacy Festival.
Oh, I was at Legacy.
Oh, really?
For sure. Every music fest, I'm there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're at Legacy. So I was opening the stage for day two.
Oh, I usually miss the opening.
Okay. No wonder. Good choice if I think
you too long, man. I worked too hard.
Yeah. Because of COVID, you couldn't perform.
Yeah, no, and you're too busy with your corporate job, right? And it makes it
harder.
I
knew, like, buy advertisement and... Target her to follow my Instagram account.
Wow, speaking from silly. Okay. So now everybody has kind of established like your work and like your side hustles and I hope it blows people's minds. Why is it your side hustle and not your main hustle?
I guess for my case, I think it's really out there, right? It is.
Literally. She's very out there.
Exactly, right? It's totally out there. So, you know, as people are getting more familiar with this type of treatment, with this type of therapy to help them with their wellness, it takes time to build, right? Mm. But also for the longest time, like in the Singapore environment, we have been trained to, you know, go with the normal route of academy and then get a career or maybe build a business that people can touch and feel and understand rather than, you know, talking to spirits, talking to your ancestors, talking to your ego and guardian angels.
People talk to spirits and guardian angels and ancestors when they work with you?
Yeah.
Wow. Tell us, how does that work?
So I train a team of channelers, right?
Okay,
so the team of channelers will lend their voice and lend their bodies to the souls, to your guardian angels, to your ancestors, to your past life, so that they come forward to share some insights that people are not familiar with or not aware of.
When you tell people this, what is their reaction?
So there are some people like, you know, like yeah. the people in this room, right? They will be so, like, mm-hmm, let's just keep a straight face, right?
No, I'm actually thinking of how to engage her service.
Your ancestor, is it?
Yeah, so I have done like even interesting cases where people don't really have to die for us to engage, right? So there were cases when COVID, where people were in ICU and they're really curled up in fetus position, but they still have a heartbeat and they're still breathing. And the family just really want to know because they can't go into the ICU during COVID time to talk to the mother or the grandparents, right? And they really want to do something for their last wishes, right? And the soul want to express their last wishes. So we do go in and channel for the soul to say what is their last wishes before they move on.
That's a really practical use of your side hustle. I mean, it's
practical. Well, you're in Singapore, but yes.
Yeah, please, because please, most people will have associated.
Can monetize, like, right? Can monetize this one.
No, I mean, like, it is something that immediately has a use case for, right? Because I believe, you know, sometimes it's a bit hard to explain to people what you actually do. But that example itself is like, wow, immediately there's a need.
Is it a growing need?
Well, not many people. I mean, I haven't really advertised about these type of services, right? But as I continue to work with the channelers, there are more and more things that came up that taking us to routes that we thought was unknown, but then we're like, okay, we still can solve the case.
Okay.
Like people who hear voices, people who are thinking of jumping off a building, we are able to find out like where exactly the voices came from.
Oh my goodness.
And then actually address those voices.
Okay, great. Yeah, Ming, why you give up on your cool job?
I didn't
people
really.
People these days think DJ is cool, right?
I still think so. Martin Garrix, Armin van Buuren.
Yeah, those producers, if you made it, it's really cool. But I think the infrastructure here is highly competitive. We have that little amount of gigs and quite a good amount of people trying to go for that few positions. I did try to pursue this full time, but I think the income and the growth of income is not very sustainable.
How much does an average DJ make? Oh, it's an insult that I call you average DJ.
Average DJ.
Ooh. No, like at that point in time when you're starting out.
Dabbling DJ.
Oh my God, I need to cancel for this.
So you definitely need to have some form of training at a certain level before you start residency at a club. And
of course,
back then, I think this was years ago, I was receiving about 3K per month. Kind of income. Yeah.
So you were a big brand was behind you. Were a resident at a big
brand. At some of our places, correct. But later part, I realized that you actually need to do a bit more than just DJing.
Like what a bit more?
Like you like need to be a music director for adult action.
Like what?
Management.
Adult action with management. Sorry.
That's actually one way
to progress, by the way.
It's like you need a manager
need to move into management role. Like you become a music director. Oh. You'll be a booking agent for the club. So all these are the progressions, not just the
skill.
So after a while, the DJing is a BAU, whereas the progression depends on what kind of contribution you bring to the club.
Then how to become like a big famous DJ like that if you're always doing booking and not on music?
This is for Singapore context. So for overseas, it's a bit different. Their infrastructure is bigger. They have more people to support each other. So they will produce and then it's all about connection, right? And then for example, hardware like your tracks and then he start collaborating with you. That's how they bring in new faces into the scene. But if you notice, it's actually quite concentrated on certain parts of the world right now, as of now.
Okay, fair. So no interesting income growth. So that's why it's no longer.
More
it's
not of your progression will be slightly slower.
Okay. So you know, like, silly do very well. Ralph.
So for myself, I've been dancing ballet for a couple of decades. And when I was dancing ballet, it was with this school called Dance Point. So it's basically the largest ballet school in Singapore. So that's run by my teacher. So I thought that, well, it would be kind of cool to be able to do, maybe if I would be a quarter successful my teacher, that's not so bad. So and then I had this opportunity. To start a ballet school. And I thought, well, just give it a try. So that's how that started.
So you never thought of going pro as a dancer?
Oh, well, my teachers definitely did encourage me to do so. I was a bit more practical in the sense of the kind of career path that I wanted to take. I chose pragmatism.
How not practical is dance? It's like dance as a career.
No. It is not impractical.
Impractical.
It's not. It's just, I guess, from my perspective, because both my parents are dancers also. Yeah, so I know
come
that.
For a kampong or dancers?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, only my parents.
Also ballet.
More European national dance, like folk dance. Yeah, so I think that I also know, for example, like, let's say if you are very passionate about, like, for example, in terms of dance, and you'll be like a professional. So there's two parts to it. One is like being a professional dancer and joining like a dance company. And then there's also one where you start like a commercial school. Obviously, a commercial school would earn you like more. But if you're like a professional dancer, it's a little bit hard if that's all you do. Of course, if you have, let's say, side hustles, then of course, who knows, depending on side hustle, right? Mm. But if you just do that, yeah, it's very difficult. There is definitely a ceiling. And the ceiling, it's yeah, not very high. And my parents told me that, like, since young, like, they of course would like me to be professional, but if the likelihood of that is low, right, then don't bother, like, you know, like, really just do something practical.
I was just wondering, like, I think back then there was like Step Up, the movie, and all, like, a lot of people start
Step
learning
up,
hip-hop.
Yes. Yeah.
What makes you wake up one day and want to do, like, ballet, which is like a...
Oh, no. So my parents just got me exposed to different like hobbies, including in this case ballet. I think it's just because they were open to this to this idea. So and well, as so-called fate would have it, I quit everything else except for ballet. And well, since that was the only thing going for me apart from studies, so I just continued. I think that's how I can think about
but
it.
You've definitely overcome a lot of stereotypes for men to be in dance and in leotards, right?
Yes. So but I would say there will be more from primary school and before that. Yeah. So like in primary school, they say, oh, like, what do you do in the weekends? You know, then I say, oh, I go for ballet classes. I mean, clearly you can imagine like primary school kids. I mean, I don't blame the office now. I don't like, obviously they'll find it funny. Like, oh my God, you are like, yeah. So I try to avoid saying, well, yeah. Of course I'll get affected. I mean, I'm still a primary school kid after all. Of course I'll go back and I'll tell my mom, oh, you know what? They call me names. And my parents like, well, you just do your best and then just let your kind of like results show yourself that you're good. It's cool. It's a cool thing. But one good thing is I think I went to this secondary school that emphasized a lot about Chinese dance also. So after that, the perception changed. So a lot of people are like, wow, this guy from Chinese dance, wow, solid. So, and then, there will be more of the perception. Then we get to also perform. People will know that, okay, like dance, like male dancers are, well, they are strong. They can like lift the ladies. Well, they're really strong. I can't do that, for example, let's say.
So how many schools do you have today?
Two. So we opened a second one in Haogang last year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Congrats.
Wow, congratulations. Yeah. It doesn't sound like a side hustle.
It sounds like a serious one.
Yeah.
So I'm quite lucky that my partners, they're full-time teaching. Yeah. So and also like running the show. Of course, at the start, the setup, for example, like setting up of the systems. Yeah. So that would be at the start. So that would be more the dance studio one. And then for the dancewear fashion one, that's it's more of a kind of rebranding of my friend's previous fashion label. So I just roped in a few more friends in and we started it and there it is.
Fair. That's cool. Interesting. Everybody has very interesting side hustles.
So what's your side hustle?
No, I don't have a side hustle. I got no time for
you
side hustle.
You one?
I do like four or five recordings. You're like my fourth recording for the day, right? Other side hustle. Right? Yeah. So this is my only hustle. Okay. So you must like, share, subscribe. So, yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Maybe talk about the bad things first. Has your side hustle affect your main career in a sense of like impede your career?
Not so much impeding, but I have to declare because I'm in a regulated environment. So like if I have any, let's say any other company ownership, even if it's just an investment, I need to declare. It's a regulatory requirement. Mm-hmm. So I'm very compliant. Yeah. It's super important in this space.
I know, yes. Yeah. IRAS don't disturb. Yes.
MS.
MS also don't disturb. We comply. Yes. Never market any old house. Yeah.
So I do have another side hustle, which is two restaurants.
That
I have to declare.
Okay.
But I didn't declare this a spiritual healing.
Wait, so if your friends see this, if your colleagues see this, this is the first time they know that, oh my God, you do the whole like juju thing. Like, is it?
Yeah, not many of them knows. Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah, so it's...
And why? Okay, why?
Well, because we're in ITs, we're completely practical.
You touch the server, like...
That's right. Like somebody sabotaged us.
Something's wrong.
That's
yes.
right. the flow is blocked, right? Yeah. It is the feng shui of this room. It wouldn't flow.
But is there a reason why you... I mean, like, based on that, right? Like, your side hustle did not affect your main hustle because you didn't...
They're
tell
completely separate,
about it.
Right?
Yeah, and you
so
don't,
separate.
Yeah, it doesn't sip into your life. But is there a reason why you don't let it sip in that sense?
I think it's very hard to sip, right? Because like every day, what I do at work is about lead generation. Mm. It's about whether this MQL, right, is good enough for me to pass on to the sales, right? Mm. So it is about curating my leads. I don't know how to bring the spiritual aspect
it's
to that.
It's too far off the spectrum.
Yeah. So there's no human touch in your work in that sense?
It's all very practical,
okay,
true.
All funnel,
yeah, it's all
you,
the, exactly.
Okay,
it's all
filtered down,
the
blah,
numbers
blah, blah.
And
okay,
all
okay,
that. Yeah.
So there's no human...
Yeah,
if not,
there isn't.
Yeah, okay.
But if
yeah.
I'm in HR, then there's a complete story, right?
Yeah, because
say
that,
that
whole ability to feel the
yeah,
space and the energy
exactly,
of the people.
I can see
is,
this person walking in, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay, the vibe is not so good today, right?
Then why don't you change?
Into HR. I wasn't trained in HR. I was trained as a marketeer. Actually, okay. To be honest, I was actually trained as a psychiatrist, and I also did engineering, and I also did media.
Wait,
whoa, whoa,
wait. How does it work? Right, media, engineering, psychiatrist, run two restaurant, you know, do IT sales.
Yeah, life is too
IT
short.
Marketing.
Just try everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I did study in Singapore Poly as electrical engineer. I went in there because my dad had a company that who was making rewrite heads for a hard disk. So the idea was that I was going to continue the business or something, but it was just really too dry. That wasn't something that I was like keen on looking at the operation line, you know, and he was running three shifts those days when it's really, really hot, right? And so then when I made a request to go to study in university, I went to study media studies with a side on psychology. Mm. Yeah, so I was studying TV, radio, PR, news. And then I have the psychology bit behind that.
And after psychology, how does it even move into
to the IT
something
marketeer?
Not
no,
so
IT marketeer is fine, like, more like the few.
Yeah,
few. How do you end up
is,
in the...
Is there like a new level of...
Awakening,
studying?
Like a new level of awakening.
Yeah, so I think it's just life takes you whatever, right? Just go with the flow, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just what happened.
So what got you started to...
To this wanted, spiritual awakening.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You don't wake up one day and say, okay, I'm going to start.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I have suppressed it for a long time, right? So
wait, suppressed in the sense that you've already felt something different?
It's different
like,
from the
like
others.
How, okay,
so
okay.
Like, for example, when I could see things, right?
So yeah, the third eye. Is that how it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, they call it
the
third eye.
Is it the third
eye? Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So of course, a lot of things were suppressed because you're trying to be practical. You're trying to be the same as everybody, right? It's like, if you see things other people don't see, you better like, okay, whatever I saw is just a figment of imagination. Because when these energy comes, for me, I'm not like some people who will see a solid figure. I'm not like that. For me, I'll just see fleeting energy or patterns of energies and stuff like that. But there was once when I was staying at my friend's house in Australia. So it just so happened that his family decides to build a house opposite a graveyard, right? So that time, his younger brother and sisters were not allowed to cycle on the road, but they're allowed to cycle inside the graveyard because it's safer, right? No traffic. Right? So
nothing
there
moving.
Might be traffic, but they just
nothing
can't see
moving.
The traffic.
Yes, yes, yes.
Exactly. So anyway, while I was babysitting the brothers and sisters, they were looking at the gravestones, reading the tombstones and all that. So anyway, that night, because I was staying over at the place is up in the mountain, in the middle of the night, somebody came to my ears and went, boo, ghost, right? And I opened up my eyes and there was this figure. And it was this woman, I could make out the energy shadows of her. And then there was a lot of little imps sitting on my duvet. And they were all shaking it, right? And I could see the clock. It was at 3:06 a.m.
Wait,
then,
is 3:06 an important time?
Well, I just took note of it because I wanted to know how long the interaction was.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, she said, hey, I need your help. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm just here for my holiday.
Please let me
it's
go.
It's beyond my pay
you
scale.
Know. I'm not paid enough to deal with this,
it's
man.
It's fine. Like, relax, girl. Do
and
your
then
thing.
She was like, can you help me? I was like, seriously? I'm just here for my holiday. And that's when I remembered that we all have our guardian angels and then they can come in to help. So that's when I go, guardian angel, if you're here, please invite them to leave. And so that's when I could feel this presence. And then this guardian angel came, and then they all left the room, and then suddenly the room was bright and I could see the clock again, and it was 3:09. So I then basically ignored that. I didn't really see myself as somebody different, or I just think of it as just one off.
So you didn't help?
No, I didn't help them. Yeah. At the time, I do regret. I have a bit of regret right now.
So Mings, has it impeded your career?
I think at the start, definitely, I'm a bit more afraid to tell people that, right, that I'm doing this.
Why?
Because it's in the nightlife. And you know the stereotype that comes with nightlife is that you are drinking all weekend, you are smoking all weekend, and spending a lot of time.
So is it true?
It's not true.
Probably do some drugs as well.
Yeah, so that's a common stereotype. Yeah, so I think at the start...
Once and for all, it's not true.
It's not true.
Okay.
Can DJs be very healthy. Are actually music lovers. Okay, we do drink. That's simply because we like drinking, even without that side hustle. Yeah, but I think over time, it's very difficult to not show it, right? You start sharing on your social media and all, and then people start to know, and then I soon realized that actually it's something that sets you a little bit different from others. So at least you can have events that they can show up for, or like they can talk to you about music or even festivals. Yeah, they'll ask you whether they can go for this festival. They should be going for these artists. And all. But of course, I think personally, professionally, we news. Make sure that we don't...
But okay, but this can be a figment of your imagination, right? In the sense that, okay, although we know like socially that some of these kind of connotation, sometimes it plays out in our head, right? Don't say it. And I think a lot of people tuning in, they may have like some other side hustles that kind of go along in this realm, right? And then they also want to hide. Because I've talked to Candice, you know, another DJ. She also say, last time I went in Big Four, I don't review. Yeah. Right? And because people think like, as a management consultant, the next morning when I wake up, it's like, last night you had a party. Okay. But I pay you very a lot, you know? Like, are you sure you're working all in, right? So there's a lot of these things. But question is this a overplaying, right? Is this a figment of our imagination? Or have you on some level felt a little bit of...
No, it's definitely true. It's definitely true. Okay. But I think I'm just... Okay, at least when I'm more in the corporate sector, that is definitely a very big thing. That if you have any side hustle you declare, and then they will probably tell you not to carry on with that.
So you've had someone tell you that before?
So back when I was in corporate, I didn't even dare to declare this because of the HR stance on this, that you shouldn't have like side hustle and stuff.
Moonlighting.
No moonlighting.
That's why all the DJ all wear shades, right? So when you're spinning your HR, then he's like, then he's like,
you pretend.
It's like, hey,
just don't look at them. I'm drunk. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about.
There's some other accent that come out.
But I do think that stereotype comes only because you're in a club. But if you're just a DJ, people don't put that stereotype on you.
Yeah,
it's only the club.
I think the space here is more like when you say he's a DJ, they immediately have this vision of
really.
Yeah, for example, like when you say he does ballet, I immediately imagine him.
In your tarts.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's maybe because I go to a lot of music fests, I have a lot of respect for DJs.
Yeah, so these are all real music lovers, right?
Yeah.
But I think the general public, not everybody goes for festival or stuff like that.
Okay, but then has your side hustle then help you pursue your career? Help you in your career in any ways?
I would say yes, when if the occasion arises that I have to talk about it. So I don't always talk about it in like every, like, of course, every meeting when we talk about, let's say, a hedge fund and say, oh, by the way,
I dance.
Do you dance? Do you also dance ballet? Yeah, it's a bit hard, but if, for example, a rare occasion that it arrives, then they'll find it interesting and it's just like a more of a kind of a conversation that is interesting for them, rather than just all about like talk shop and all that.
Yeah. But how about, if not say directly impacting your career, but maybe your side hustles have helped you through hard times? You know, in times when your career was like so hard and then you're like so dry, so jaded from this thing, and your side hustles kind of like give you a different spin to life and like have a place to escape to or something. You know, is there something like that?
It's definitely something that you can, you know, unleash the entire week's
worth of stress. Yeah, yeah. Just not that person. You know. Walao,
then you just, you know, drain your energy and then like, of course you feel happy. Yeah. It's a different type of experience, right? If you see the crowd dancing to your music. So that's definitely a little bit of a 2 to 3 hours escape for me. in a sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I push you a little bit on that, right? Like, has there been a particular occasion where you felt like you want to give up on your corporate job and then like your side hustle becomes like a viable alternative, or maybe you quiet quit and then you just like side hustle, like it was your focus for a while, right? And then you come back to the corporate. You know, was that a scenario like that?
No, I think it's very difficult to do that, right? And you will have that thinking if you don't like what you're doing every day. So for me, I think maybe it's a bit different. Mm. Yeah.
Why you not? Hey, don't politically correct.
Correct, right? We love working. We are all workaholics.
But I agree with him that I definitely like what I'm doing. I don't think I would quit to do like focusing on a side hustle. But I also like the side hustles that I do, for example. So I see it like continuing.
So does it help you then, like, in that sense of like, okay, you have your main hustle, which is a lot of thinking work already, and then your side hustles also require, because technically you don't dance, right? Technically you run a dance school and it's like running business, right? Two other side businesses.
Yes. So for example, for the ballet school now, it's most of the time it's now already more my partners running the show. So but of course, as and when if they need extra pair of hands and extra like thinking
extra
cap,
teacher. Yeah.
No, unfortunately, or fortunately, it depends on how you see it. Not, I would say in terms of more the side hustle would be more the dancewear, fashion label sort of things. So from the, like some of the logistics, inbounding, to putting in the warehouse, processing orders, setting up the site.
You don't feel tired?
No, because my background is actually in tech. So some of these things doesn't take too much of a time. It's easy to set it up. So then,
no, but you don't feel like, do you guys feel like sometimes it's tiring in the sense that like there's just so many things ongoing in your life? You know, like a lot of people like on the weekend, they'll be like, I just want to chill.
If you're doing what you're like, passionate about, it actually energizes you.
It gives you a lot more.
Yeah, a lot reason more to reason to. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like for me, like knowing the number of people I help, the number of things that I could solve for others because nobody else could solve, just really perked me up. Really just make me feel that, okay, I'm at least doing something good for others.
So you feel like on the weekends or during your off time, off your main work time, doing something that like energizes you actually is better than like just like scrolling YouTube or something. Is that
the mindless scrolling?
Yeah.
Or just consuming. Because I feel that when we're actually producing, it actually energizes. I mean, for us, right, it's all about productivity. And when you have something that you're passionate about and you're producing, it energizes you rather than just, you know, be a glutton and just consume.
So is there any issue with consume versus productivity?
I think when we actually overconsume and don't apply, that becomes like a state of like, you know, we just fatten ourselves up. But so what? How do you apply it? Like we make a difference when we actually apply ourselves, when we produce something and make a difference and impact on the environment, on the people, on our family, on our friends. And that's why mothers cook, right? Because they want to produce something to feed the family.
Because fathers can't. Yeah, okay, fair. I like that. By extension, right, when a lot of people think about like starting their side hustles or building a side hustle, a lot of people have like, oh, we're going to make money. You know, it's like make money is like the main goal, right? Like, and any thoughts on that? Is it okay to do a side hustle that is not really very like profitable?
If I could comment, I think all of us went into our side hustles in a very gradual way because it was part of us and then it became part of us. So it wasn't something where we had to go force ourselves do something, right? It's just because for the love of whatever we do.
Yeah. So you don't need to like pay a program and learn some three secrets to start a side hustle.
No, I don't think we go around looking at most money-making side hustle and then we start choosing one.
Yeah.
It's more like catered to what you're really interested in and what you're willing to spend time on. And then it's just over time because of this little habit that you have. And then you feel that, actually, I'm quite good enough to, you know, maybe go for an audition or to start producing in a sense.
Or like for me, it was helping people. It was just a very natural progress.
So monetization becomes a gradual thing. Like it's not like a thing like upfront, okay, we're going to like make money out of this. It was more like as you do it, the market look for you in some level. Right, like people started rendering your services. They want you to do more than just a hobbyist. Is that something like that?
Maybe for him it's different because he's definitely making a lot of money. I think.
Yeah,
like,
confirm. Like, you see the whole thing.
Yeah, but I think at least for me, I think money is more like a bonus. Being able to perform, that is the
I know it's a performance high.
Yeah.
There's a performance high to it, yes.
Correct. I would tend to agree. I don't base this just on money, right? Because like for me, the passion is helping people to make a difference, especially in the area that I'm working on, is that not many other people could help and support. And just being able to step in to make a difference, that brings so much more joy. And that's the same for my team, right? Because I train the channelers. Firstly, they have to have this gift. And how do they use this gift? You don't want to have a gift and keep it. And then just think about like, I will keep it. I only use it because I get paid for it. It's not a gift if you can't share it. So I seldom have them going, oh, we must earn this amount of money or stuff like that. It's never the case. I mean, we have a prize. And then people come say that, look, I really need your help, but I don't have this amount of money. And we're like, sure, we can help. Yeah, so which is why I guess it's a side hustle.
Yeah, it's
right?
Not the main hustle. We just cannot pay the bills.
Exactly. It's not there for me to say, oh my God, I have to use this to commercialize it so much to, you know, pay my mortgage and stuff like that.
Okay. So then how would you encourage someone? Okay, let's say like these days it's very trendy to have a side hustle. Can we agree on that? It's quite trendy to have a side hustle.
I think a lot of it's not by choice. That they just need a little bit more income to cope with the increasing cost of living.
So that is a second hustle, not a side hustle.
Yeah, it becomes, I think everyone is talking about side hustle these days is simply because they need to deal with that increase in cost of living. I mean, if you along the way manage to find something that you're passionate about, that's great. But I think a lot of times it's more like people taking up certain job to really just supplement the income they have, which is not wrong. But I personally feel that you need to have passion in your side hustle, right? To make sure there's longevity to the whole entire hustle.
I would completely agree with that. Because like for my restaurants, for example, during the times when it's so tough with the COVID, like it's so easy to just want to quit, right? But we didn't. And we just kept going because there's a love and passion for the coffee and the roasting of the coffee.
What's your restaurant?
So there is a Long Black Cafe, which is at the Biopolis area. And then there's a Bodacious Bar and Bistro, also at the Biopolis area.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, I mean, I walked past before.
Do we get promo code?
I'll make that arrangement.
Yeah, promo code draw in the link below. Okay, fair. Okay, let's say we put monetization aside, right? If you have to run a side hustle for the reality of finances, how about if someone wants to build a life, right? Like you feel like your corporate job is like, it's a grind, it's a day-to-day, you know, and that is not a discount to the value of it, of what it brings to your life. Right, because it gives you that money to be able to even fathom such thoughts, right? So how would you then encourage them to like discover a side hustle to enrich their life?
So I would say in your free time, what do you find yourself suddenly like doing? Or let's say you go to the bookstore, what do you naturally go and pick up and read? So that would be something that you know that even without any incentive, you would pick that up, you will want to find out more about it. Mm. And then you know that, okay, that is something that you don't mind in your free time. Also, read up more about it, learn more about it, find out more about it. Mm. So then I would say then you've roughly find something that you are, passion is a strong word that you're interested in for start.
I tend to agree. I think also like based on your conversation, where do you tend to light up during a conversation? Mm. Where do you go down that, you know, take people down that path in your conversation? That usually would be an indicator to like where you tend to want to get your energy from, and that will sustain you in running your side hustles.
Agreed. So it actually comes to you. It will attract you naturally. If there's something that you want to learn for the longest time, and maybe because of the busy schedule, you have not go for it. Maybe this is the time that you can actually start learning.
At what point will you make your side hustle your main hustle? Because now I think even across the board, right, even all your side hustles are slowly, you know,
gaining momentum,
you know, making more money, you know, and I've talked to multiple people that made their side hustle their main hustle over time as there's more momentum in their side hustle. Is there a point in your life that maybe your main hustle will become your side hustle where it switches position? Or could you see yourself, or are you working towards that on some level? Maybe you can share.
I would say that I definitely like what I'm doing, and the aim for example, like our fund, we have some certain targets. Mm. Until you reach a certain target, which is usually assets under management. So until you reach that, then our job is kind of like not done. So we want to at least reach there before we even entertain such thoughts, for example.
But that's a we. What about you? So you are
You buy into that.
Yes.
Okay. That's why I joined. I buy into that idea. Yeah. So for the rest, for example, like I meet with different clients that actually they have multiple different businesses, and all of them are very successful. Obviously, they have to sacrifice something as a goal, but they manage to make all like
So why is this something that has to go?
Maybe your me time, for example, like you have to have less time to watch maybe some shows, some movies, or play some games. Maybe you really like to play play games, for example. And then last time, maybe you spent 5 hours playing games every day, and which is fine. Like you take your rest time and all that. But now, well, you got to meet this particular deadline or whatnot. Well, too bad, you have no time. You got to spend this 5 hours, maybe coming up with a new, let's say, just think of something, maybe like an editorial for your website that you want to have more traffic.
Yeah.
Sure, you have the flexibility to not do it. Then it's on you, right? So you're like, oh, why is sales not coming in? Too bad. You didn't put in that. It's on you.
Yeah, yeah. I think Jeremy from Monk's Hill, the Brave podcast, I don't know if you guys consume his show. Like, he came on the show and he was saying, like, oh, I stopped playing games because I make my life the game. Because it's very powerful a mindset, because you can abstract yourself, right, from this. It's like, it's not like, oh, why is it so hard? It's like, okay, I don't want to play this game already. I change another game. Right?
Absolutely.
So it gives you that ability to then take back and be like, okay, this is the game and it doesn't work. Let's go somewhere else. Right? So he stopped playing game. I think partly because he got too many things on his hands also. But you know, you make it so fun that your real world, your life, is the game you play, right? And I thought that was that's a very interesting perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think for myself, it is always a plan that eventually that when we do leave corporate and then we become the bosses of ourselves, right? You know, what does that look like? That
means you and your husband. Okay.
Right. So it basically means that, you know, what sort of freedom, what sort of time, what sort of, you know, choices we can make for our lifestyle instead of like selling our time to somebody. Mm-hmm. So that has always been the plan. So eventually, we don't want to say reach the retirement age and say that we'll be sitting on the couch twiddling and consuming content, right? Mm-hmm. We want to be in a space where we reach a retirement age and then it is exactly the time where we do everything that we have every planned for. So yes, eventually, the side hustles will be the main hustle.
So you don't feel like you're living the life you want now in that sense?
I do feel that I am having the best of everything. I do feel that. Okay. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Is there a time when there'll be no more Seedly CEO Ming Feng? It will be like DJ Feng or something. Or DJ Mings. Yes, DJ Mings. Yeah.
Well, I wish, but at least for my side hustle right now, I think the past 5 years and maybe the next 2 to 3 more years will be the best, the golden age, right? For two different side hustles have different longevity.
Golden age because...
because of your physical
revenge spending,
no, your physical ability to be able to say deal with it. For example, soccer players.
I will
players,
stop you there, that. Though. There is a very famous grandma DJ in Japan.
Oh, I know about that.
Yeah, correct. So you could be the next one.
Yeah, so ultimately, I want to be like that. In fact, my
not so cool, granddaddy.
My DJ teacher in
Grandpa,
Thailand,
Grandpa Mings in the house, guys.
Correct. So I always have it.
Woo-hoo! I love it.
I always have a joke that if one day I were to get married and have a daughter, I'm never leaving the nightlife so that I can like follow her to the club and make sure that she behaves herself.
Oh my God!
Hey, it was a joke. Yeah, I'll be like, hey, what are you doing there right there? You know, get your hands off my daughter.
I do have friends whose father party with their children.
Yeah. That will be me.
That will be you.
I'm watching you.
You want to party? Daddy got guest list and all.
That's right.
Where's your hand touching?
Yeah, but I think for me, I wouldn't like say that there'll be a time that I would just, of course, ideally, if I'm financially able enough to not have a full-time job and just pursue my passion, I think that'll be a great thing. But right now, I feel that this time when I'm dealing with these two different hustle in a sense, it's definitely the best time like, because I still have the energy and everything to do so. Mm. Yeah, for me physically.
Nice. Interesting. Cool. Maybe a last question. It's like, okay, so for people that are thinking of eventually like making their side hustle a thing, like their main thing or even a big part of their thing, do you have advice for them?
I would say start whenever. Don't wait. Just do it.
Nice. Yeah. Good. Love it.
Want to make sure that it becomes a full-time thing for you. There's a lot more thinking that you need to go through.
Yes.
Because now you are your own boss.
Yes.
And which also means that if you decide to chill for 1 week, right, there'll be no income. So I think that's something that you need to consider. And if you are ready to take out that commitment, right, and you have calculated the risk and return, go for it.
Mm. Do you need to talk to your partner?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's a big change in your life, right? If there are all these things like...
Yeah, I think you brought up a really good point. Mm. Having their support makes a big difference. Yeah. Like, I don't think my husband would have gone in to set up the restaurants without me going, yeah, you have my 100% blessings.
Yeah.
Right? because it does mean that it is taking some savings from us.
And it's taking up extra time.
Yeah.
Right? It's like no pato time now. Now you got a pato at the e-commerce shop. You got a pato in the bar. You know, you got a pato at your restaurant or something, right? It's like, it has to come from something has to go. And when you were talking about like something to sacrifice, and I think that that whole time and relationship element is a big part, right?
I think it's the support. Mm. Yeah, like trusting you that you're actually doing something right and not taking too big a risk for the whole family.
Mm.
So there's all that. Yeah.
Nice, nice, nice. Thank you. Thank you all for coming and sharing your interesting side hustles. I love it. Thank you for your time. Love
Thanks
it.
For having us.
Love it. Love
Thank
it.
You for having love us.
It. Yes.
Stay tuned all the way after this quick note for our personal money question segment. Before that, I hope you've learned something useful today. Join our Telegram group, follow us on our socials, and check out thefinancialcoconut.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so we asked three rapid-fire questions to everybody. Okay, come, Teresa. So three rapid-fire questions. The first is, what has been your best and worst investment you've ever made?
I think I've made a lot of good investments. Like definitely around properties and even starting the restaurant business. I think these are all good investments. Worse investments is actually paying a lot of money to courses to learn how to do trading. Like, I still don't get it. I pay a lot for the courses and I lose a lot during the trading itself. So that's the worst.
Okay, Ralph. So what is one thing under $100 that has been a game changer?
Oh, definitely one of my favorite books. So there's two. One is... Shoe Dog. The other one is What It Takes. Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, I'll let you off. Okay, how about I give you one. Give me the last one, okay? One place you learn that you think is underrated can be a book, a website, a YouTube, a podcast.
Yeah. So, I have this little hiding spot where, you know, like...
Oh my God, you're going to review your hiding spot?
Right. So, I'm not sure you know float therapy.
Yep.
Yeah, so I go for float therapy once
Palm
a
Avenue.
Month. Yeah, Palm Avenue. I think that place is underrated. I mean, it's a really nice place to escape for like 1 hour or two away from all
It's
your
a very
phones
scary and... escapism.
Did you at manage first. To sleep in there?
Yeah, I'm so I was meditating first, and then now I'm at a stage where, because I do this quite often, that I can go for float and sleep in there. Mm.
Oh,
yeah.
I couldn't the first time.
You have,
yeah. First time is horrible.
Yeah, the first time will be the most horrible.
First time
I had salt in my eyes after, and I had salt in my ears.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you carry on after that? Or?
No, I haven't.
Never. Okay.
Okay. Palm Avenue Float Club. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Lovely. Thanks for sharing. Oh, thank amazing. You. Lovely. Nice.